Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit go.vikingcapllc.com/best. That's go.vikingcapllc.com/best to get started today. Did you know that within a decade, women will hold $30 trillion in investable assets? Yet somehow, only 19% of women reported feeling confident in selecting investments that align with their long-term goals. Our friends at InvestHer are out to change that. InvestHerCon is the number one premier conference for women in real estate, and it's happening June 2nd through the 4th in Austin, Texas. InvestHerCon is not just another real estate conference. It's a transformational experience focused on real estate investing, business strategies, and self-care tactics, all designed to help women take control of their financial futures. Gain the knowledge and skills you need to grow your portfolio and build a sustainable business, all while connecting with over 500 women who are playing at the same level. To learn more and to get your tickets, visit InvestHerCon.com today and use the code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket. That's InvestHer, HERCon.com, promo code 100BESTEVER to get $100 off your ticket.
Are you ready for the best real estate investing advice ever? Join Joe Fairless and today's successful real estate professional as they share it with you. Let's go.
A quick word from our sponsor, The Door Devil. Homeowners spend hundreds on alarm systems each year, but rarely reinforce the weakest point on the home, the doors. Bad guys know this, and that's why kick-ins are so common. Simply adding Door Devils virtually eliminates the home security gap. Sleep better tonight. Reinforce your doors. Visit DoorDevil.com and enter Best Ever to get an exclusive 20% discount on your purchase. Hello, Best Ever listeners. Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever Show. I'm Joe Fairless, and I'm here with today's guest, Jacob Charrington. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going, Joey?
Good, good. And I know you go by JC, so from this point forward, I will call you JC.
All right, cool.
I'm excited to talk to JC, and I know, Best Ever listeners, you're going to get a lot out of this conversation if you are interested in learning the world of flipping. I personally have never done a short-term flip before. I say short-term because, you know, I'm involved right now in a five-year hold on a value-add multifamily property of 168 units, but I've never personally done a short-term flip, and that is what JT specially is in. He has done over 100 flips in the Las Vegas market since 2009. He started with single-family homes, worked his way up to fourplexes, and all the way up to a 200-unit short-term flip. So we're going to talk to JC about that experience, and obviously we're going to get his best real estate investing advice ever based on that experience. So with that being said, JC, can you give a little bit more background on your experience and what you're focused on right now?
I started off with the housing market. Well, my wife and I did, actually. We started off with flipping homes. We didn't have much money. We were working at the nightclub industry and doing things like that, bartending or whatever. And of course, we both wanted a house. We're both entrepreneurs, you know, in our hearts and our mindsets, kind of want to work for ourselves and have our own business. So I was attempting to do some other businesses that weren't even real estate related. She was thinking about flipping houses, and I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know anything about it, but go for it, give it a shot," you know. So, you know, we asked around, and it was funny because I remember I was talking to some like experienced real estate people, And they were telling us, you know, nah, don't get into flipping houses. It's bad. You know, you're not going to make any money. It's too dangerous. Giving us like all the reasons not to do it. And of course, it ended up being the best thing that we've ever done financially. So I've learned you can't learn to people that you think are experts or, you know more than yourself, because they definitely knew a lot more than we did then. But we, in a way, know much more than they know now. Maybe not in their specific field, but nonetheless, I guess you got to trust your intuition and not just listen to the experts sometimes. So yeah, we started off in the housing market, which if we didn't start there, I don't know how we could have, because it was just at a price point that was low enough. We started off with just $70,000. So it was a time, but I've learned in real estate, there's always a way that, you know, regardless of where you're at, there's always a way to start. Sometimes it's harder than other ways. You know, it's always easier to make money when you have money, but even with little bits, you know, you can get started. And we started by buying a condo at the auction with no idea what we were doing. It was right behind the Palms Casino, which really isn't a good area. It's not a horrible area, but it's not that good. So I remember we picked it up, and we went there, and I remember we went inside, and it had nothing. Like, it had no floors. It was just a wood frame. You could walk through to the next apartment. We freaked out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like, I mean, we'd never done this before, and we thought, oh, my God, like, I thought I was just going to have to, like, paint or fix a sink or something, and there was no apartment, literally not. It was a one-bedroom apartment, but you could walk through to the next apartment. And so we didn't know what to do. We were pissed off. We screamed at the guy that helped us out to get the place from the auction, and he said, you know, calm down. I got a guy to help you, you know, make this into an apartment. And we thought, make it into an apartment? Like, how much is that going to cost? This is insane. There's not even an apartment here, you know? And long story short, it ended up being $5,000. That was it. And he turned it into an apartment, tiled the floors. We couldn't believe how cheap it was.
That's crazy.
He built a kitchen, cabinets, and everything. Yeah, you can get some pretty cheap materials. Looked beautiful. And we made, I think, like $12,000 profit off that one in about a month's time. And back then, I was making like $4,000 a month working. So that was an incredible profit.
I have a couple of questions on this. You mentioned $70,000, and that is... I imagine you would agree that is a lot of money. It's not a lot from a grand scheme of things with the opportunity that's involved with real estate, but $70,000 to start out with is a large chunk of change. You had saved that up with your wife, and
yeah, we were bartending.
You were bartending
for years, yeah.
And you put
between
it. Did
us,
you go
we had it.
Right between you two? You had it. Did you? Mm-hmm. You went all in on the first property, on the first condo. With
yeah,
that, so
we were
was that like?
For me, I don't. For her, it seemed less scary. For me, it was more scary. She was more of a risk taker at the time, and I was more of a saver. So I was always good at saving money. Like if I made $5 a month, I'd save $250 of it. You know what I mean? Like I could save, and she was a good risk taker. So she was kind of attitude like, if we lose it all, you got to take that chance. You got to risk, because if you don't risk, nothing good's gonna happen. So she had a really great attitude in that. She was a risk taker way more than I was.
And the second thing I want to ask you about is the experts that you spoke to who said, don't do flipping, don't do it. You did it. Why did they say you shouldn't do it, and how were you able to be so successful?
Well, looking back, you know, sometimes people might be an expert at what, you know, real estate, let's say. Like, I remember the people that we were asking, they were really good buyers and seller agents. And although they were good at that, they didn't really have any experience in what we wanted to do. But we didn't know that because we were absolutely beginners. So to us, you know, they were seasoned realtors and knew a lot about real estate. But if you're not asking somebody that's specific to what you want to do, and we didn't know the difference, then, you know, you might not get the opinion that you want. And so, you know, looking back, I've realized they didn't know anything about it. They weren't risk takers, because you can be in real estate, but real estate is such a vast field. There's so many different ways. See, every time you say you do real estate, people think that you just, you know, you just sell homes. You know, you're just a buyer or a seller.
Right, yep.
They think, oh, it must be tough right now. But oftentimes when people think the market is tough, it's actually the best for maybe somebody who's an investor. You know, doing the opposite of what, you know, people think is the good thing to do can sometimes be the best thing you've ever done.
How many flips are you working on right now?
Right now that we've moved up to like a bigger price point, and we're doing like more commercial, because typically our complexes are in the size of about 30 units per complex. And so we have, I think, three at the moment, so three, six now. We have about 100 units.
What are your plans for those three?
Same thing that we've always done. We basically buy them distressed, in really bad shape, you know, bad tenants, drug dealers, you know, prostitutes, the whole nine. And then we pretty much kick everybody out, kind of stabilize it, and then get it fixed up, fill it with good tenants, and sell it as a really attractive, nice, easy-to-own property.
So based on your experience in flipping, and you know what, before we get to that, we got introduced through a mutual friend, and he told me that you invest in some of the most dangerous areas in Las Vegas.
Yes.
He was terrified. He did a drive, you know, I hate to use the word drive-by. But he drove around with a ride-along with you, almost like you're a police officer. How the heck do you survive these areas, and why do you choose to do that? Are they as bad as what I've been told?
Yes and no. You know, like, it kind of just depends a little bit on the day, too. Because, you know, some days you go to certain neighborhoods, and it might be a bad neighborhood, and there's no trouble at all, just smooth. And then, you know, the wrong people are out the wrong day, and, yeah, it becomes like a nightmare situation. Because we do deal with, I wouldn't say the absolute worst neighborhoods. There are a couple that we don't touch in Las Vegas that I think are, like, beyond help. Like, you can't even... You know, they're beyond fixing. They're absolutely screwed. I don't even know what you would do with those neighborhoods.
What are those? For people interested in Vegas, what are those neighborhoods?
Okay, yeah, and they might look the same, by the way, if you're looking at, like, LoopNet, like commercial real estate sites, and you think, oh, wow, what a great deal this is. No, it's not a great deal. It looks like the rest, but it's not. Any of the streets that start with letters or numbers, stay away from.
A street that starts with a number or a letter? Isn't that the only option?
First Street, if it says First Street, Second Street, Third Street, D Street, A Street, C Street, don't buy there.
Okay.
Don't buy there. Because pretty much you're not, it's beyond fixing. We thought about it one time. We drove through it, and I remember these little kids pointed a gun at me. They were like 8 years old, and I was like, oh, my God. They stopped me in front of my car. They were like eight and pulled a gun out and pointed at me.
Oh,
so,
was it real?
Yeah, I knew that. Just, yeah. And it's, so there's some neighborhoods that are beyond fixing. The reason that we got into it was because the housing market dried up, like I said, and the flipping market, it kind of just went away at the auction. There stopped being deals. There stopped being homes, you know, going through the auction that was worth any value of flipping. So we thought, well, let's try commercial. A lot of people there, they had gotten comfortable, which is another thing. I'd say you can't get comfortable. You got to keep trying new things, or you got to keep taking risks in new areas. We were at the housing market. It was going great. You were picking up deals left and right. And all of a sudden, it dried up. And a lot of people just thought, well, I'm just going to stay here. It's going to come back. I'm going to wait. It didn't come back. And so I don't know what those people are doing now. But we thought, well, let's attempt commercial. We've never done it before. But how hard can it be, right? It's kind of similar. And so we did it, and also it ended up being pretty good. We had a lot of trouble and headaches, but before we knew it, we were getting deep into it. It was all we were doing. And so, yes, it was very dangerous, but we still weren't established yet financially. We're still growing, and so we didn't want to go back to working jobs. We wanted to stay entrepreneurs, and it was the only way that we knew. So even though it was dangerous, you know, we stayed in it. Of course, I didn't allow my wife to go to the properties. I went. She dealt with maybe the real estate side of it. And it was my attitude that this is what life gave me, so I'm not going to back down from it. There were some days I didn't want to go, sometimes scared. I almost got jumped a few times and almost got myself in some really bad situations. But it's what life put in front of me, and I learned whatever you're doing or whatever life's put in front of you, you can either back away from it or you can find a way to dominate it, you know, and that's all attitude.
I love that philosophy, and not that we even need to get your best real estate investing advice ever, because we've already got a lot of good advice, but let's go ahead and do this. What is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Specific to maybe the commercial or the fourplexes?
Specific to flipping and what you're doing now.
I would definitely say, for me, on the journey that I've been dealing with contractors has been the biggest learning lesson that I've dealt with, because I've dealt with contractors and sometimes I've just dealt with handymen, because certain properties I can make more money if I only deal with a handyman versus a contractor, because of course a contractor is just like a middleman. I'm paying them to supervise, you know, and sometimes it's beneficial to use a contractor, sometimes it's beneficial to use a handyman. So if you're dealing with a contractor, definitely set up a contract that's very beneficial to yourself, meaning set a deadline and be very specific. Don't just make a vague agreement with them and say, okay, you know, I'm going to pay you $100,000 to get all this stuff done and, you know, do it by December. No. Put it down in a contract, detailed, you know, and if they get over that time frame, you know, put it down so that every single day they're late, you know, you're going to dock them $200 a day. Because a contractor who's a licensed contractor, you actually have a lot of power over them, because the contractor's board is actually like a police force that's there to kind of regulate them and very much in your favor. So, and then you can feel comfortable, you can go ahead and you can give them a big chunk up front, you know, of $15,000 or $20,000. You still don't get crazy with it, but you can give them bigger amounts up front to get started, which typically they want. Now, if you're dealing with a handyman, which I have on some of my property, obviously, if you have a handyman, typically they're trying to make as much money as they can. They're not going to bring on a big crew because it's going to cost them too much to be worth it. So they're going to move a little bit slower. They're going to promise the world and say, oh, yeah, I can fix this whole place in a month. But in reality, it's going to take them 8 months or 9 months. So what I've done now, and this has been one of the biggest helps, is let's say I have a complex of 30 apartments and the whole place needs to be rehabilitated, everything. Instead of just bringing on one crew, I'll negotiating the whole property with him or her, I will bring on two or three different crews separate. They don't know each other. And I'll say, okay, you get these five apartments, you get those five apartments, and then you get, you know, these five. And I'll negotiate the prices with them. I'll only give them just enough to get the materials, because those guys can just take off of their money, and I've seen it happen to other people. So you just give them just enough, whether that's $3,000 or $4,000, just enough to kind of just buy the materials and then pay them for the rest of the labor once it's done. And whoever finishes their five apartments first then gets the next five. And then that way it'll keep them kind of competing with one another. And you'll get your complex finished much quicker.
Interesting.
And since I'm in the flipping business, it's really, really beneficial to go about it that way, because time is money. And I've had guys hold me up forever. But when I go about it this way, they're not holding me up, because they're competing with each other to get it done quicker. Because the more quicker they get it done, the more work they get.
That's a very practical approach to being a lot more efficient with rehabs and renovations. I think that could be applied to not only flipping but just any type of construction work that you do from a renovation standpoint. I think obviously if you're building from the ground up, then you don't want to have separate crews doing separate jobs, because
you could in a way do the same thing, even if you build from the ground up. Like you could give, let's say you had several buildings on one complex, you could just give one building to one contractor and then bring another contractor and give him the other building. So it's separate jobs. So you still could do the same.
Yeah.
Because I have had licensed contractors go over their time too, and then we get in this big argument where, you know, I want to sue and this and that and all this stuff. So it still could be a beneficial approach, but you wouldn't split the building, the same building, up, you know, by two different contractors.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I guess in the back of my mind / creeping up to the front is having a Frankenstein project where you've got one building that's based on one direction, another based on another. But I guess it's just in your oversight and management and making sure they adhere to the plans. So it shouldn't necessarily be – it shouldn't affect what it looks like. It should only affect how quickly it gets done.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, JC, are you ready for the best ever lightning round?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Best ever book you've read?
Oh, definitely Thinking Grow Rich. Thinking Grow Rich, absolutely. Then for real estate specific one, the second best is Donald Trump's, what is it called? Donald Trump. It's where he's on the cover and he's just, you know, looking glorious with his big blonde hair.
Oh, God, that's every one of his books.
Is that every one of his books? Oh, man, because it's crazy, because basically his father did exactly what we do, exactly, to the T. To the T. Everything I described to you, that's exactly what his dad did. And then he was the one that branched off and went into Manhattan and started building high rises and big fancy buildings. But anyways, it was very great book because I learned so much from it. So as a secondary, that one, and then as a primary, Think and Grow Rich. Think and Grow Rich is a must. I don't care what you do in life. Think and Grow Rich.
You would like 3 Feet from Gold. It's
I've heard of that one, but never
read
it.
It's created from the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and it's Napoleon Hill's principles, but in a storytelling format.
Anything from him, I'd imagine, is probably amazing. Yeah.
And the best ever listeners, all you got to do is just Google Donald Trump gorgeous blonde hair cover, and you'll find the book that JC's referencing.
No, I'll before this call is through, it'll pop up into my mind. I'll know it.
Best ever personal growth experience and what you've learned from it.
Okay. Best ever personal growth experience is this, hands down, because I've had so many, but this realization right here, don't ever be a victim. Believe 100% that everything that is going on in your life is completely in your control. In the moment that you think, oh, well, you know, this happened and this wasn't my fault and this was this, you know, your life is never going to be what it could. Is going to be junk. You don't take 100% control. And that's hard for some people to comprehend because some things feel like it's so out of their control. But the moment you do that, you're a victim, and life is happening to you. You're not happening to it.
I love that. Have the victor approach, not the victim approach.
Even when I go to the neighborhood and I got some guys who want to jump me or this or that, I don't look at it like, oh, you know, just, man, these guys, you know, they want to jump me. No, I think like, what did I do to cause that? Maybe it's the way I'm dressed. Maybe it's the way I'm acting. Maybe it's something. But if something was different about me, they wouldn't have tried that. Or if I had approached this differently, spoken differently, something. So even when people out of the blue come up and want to rob me, that's my fault.
Interesting. Wow. I love that. I like how you approach it from the inner world and being able to control what you can control, and that's yourself, what things mean to you and how you approach things versus trying to control the outer world, because we'll all go insane if we try and control the things that are outside of our control.
Yeah, yeah.
Best ever success habit you practice?
Taking risks. At least in this business, if you want to make money, if you want to save money, you don't have to take risks. You don't. You can be a good saver. But if you want to make money and you're not taking risks, forget about it. You'll never be financially free. I think. That's just my opinion. I don't like to say never to anybody, but if you're starting from the bottom, so to speak, on your own, and something not handed down to you, and you're not taking risks, especially financially, you know, it's kind of a funny quote, but I saw in a movie. You got to risk it to make the biscuit. You know, you got to. It's like a football movie, a joke, but that funny quote is so true. You know, you got to take risks in everything. You know, if you want to meet a beautiful girl, you got to take risk of getting rejected. You know, if you want to get better as a, let's say, a boxer or a fighter, you got to risk getting your butt kicked. You know, if you want to get anything, you have to risk something in order to get it. And if you want money, you have to risk money to get it, because money makes money.
Best ever deal you've done?
The best ever deal I did, I think, there's been a few good ones. But maybe the best one that we did was the one that I discussed with you, just because it was so crazy to me. It was the wholesale one, the wholesale deal that we did, where we picked something up and we didn't even have the money to get it because it was tied up. So we had done deals with the seller in the past. So they knew that we were good. They knew that we would come through on a deal. So they were willing to work with us a little bit. So we picked it up, kind of held it, so to speak. And we had another buyer who we knew exactly what they were looking for. And they were looking for exactly what we were picking up. And they said, well, we'd pick it up at, like, let's say, 22 a door. Like, if you find something at 22 a door, then great. You know, we will take it. And because they knew that we sold a lot. And the other person was willing to sell it at 17 a door. And so basically, we just wholesaled it. And within, like, a week's time, you know, made like 70 grand or something like that, just by connecting the dots, so to speak.
Wow. And how about the best deal that you've done that was a renovation and you had to get in there and hire the multiple general contractors and make that happen?
Oh, okay, no, the best deal that we did, and I would say it's true that like that old quote, when luck meets preparation, you know. When you're doing something and you start to get good at it and you have your mind is in a positive place and you're thinking in the right place, then you'll come across lucky situations. And I think this one was that, where we picked up a big complex, the 200-unit place, and we took a big risk on that one because we used a lot of leverage. Not only did we put all of our own money out, we took a hard money loan. And that's when you run the risk of, if anything happens to the market, you can lose everything. You know, those are one of those risky times where you really are at, your butt is on the line. You know, you can lose everything. And so we took that chance. And at that time, at least in Vegas, it was probably about 2 years ago, the market was going up quite quickly. It just kind of hit that time, but we didn't know. You can never tell what the market's going to do. I've never been able to. And so, but at that time, looking back on it now, it was going up quite quickly. And it was funny because we thought we were going to flip it for a little bit, not a big profit. And we had this company come in who was wasting our time left and right. They're a big investment company, and they, you know, they're promising us, oh, we're going to take it, but they had some hang-ups with their loans. And I remember I could have freaked out and thought, oh my God, you know, I mean, literally I can lose everything. Everything could be going wrong. But instead, I remember keeping a really positive attitude during that time and just thinking to myself that some way, somehow, this is working out for my benefit. Long story short, it took a lot longer than I liked. I kept the good attitude. The people that were trying to buy it, they couldn't buy it. They really just kind of wasted a lot of our time. I could have been upset about it. And at the very last minute, somebody came along and offered us, you know, cash deal, the highest amount possible, close immediately, and then we made a bigger profit than I could have imagined going into it. And so there were a lot of luck factors involved, but I tend to think that luck favors those who can keep their mind in a really positive place when they don't have a legitimate reason to. You know, when you can be positive when there's no reason to be positive, you know, when you can keep your mind there thinking that everything is working out for my favor.
What were the numbers behind that one?
Well, that was a multi-million-dollar property, and so in the neighborhood of 4 and 5. But of course, that's not the profit. But 4 and 5 million-dollar property. I would say it was a life-changing deal. Yeah, it was a huge, huge deal.
Best ever quote.
I don't want anything because I already have everything. People always want something in life. We all want something in life, and that quote changed my life. I don't want anything anymore. I already have it.
Have you thought of the Donald Trump book? I've got some. I've got some options.
No,
I've got some options for you.
We've
got Think. I've got it pulled up. Think Like a Champion. Trump: How to Get Rich. Think Big and Kick Ass. Trump: The Art of the Deal.
That's it, The Art of the Deal. Yep.
There you go. We got a winner. Okay, The Art of the Deal.
Yeah, Art of the Deal. Great book for investors and flipping. And his dad did everything that we did, basically dealt with a lot of low-income properties, you know, and dealing with all that. And I think that we're kind of at a phase, us, where we're looking for the next thing, because I think I've grown a little, I've appreciated, I've been grateful for it, but I've kind of grown ready for the next phase. Because the low-income neighborhoods has worn on me. And I know that some people, everybody's on their own journey in this business, so I don't want to tell somebody how to take it. That's up to them. They're going to learn as they go. But while I was doing it with the low-income properties, in a weird way, I really loved it. And now I'm just ready for the next thing. I'm ready to be working possibly maybe a nicer higher-end homes in a different market, maybe in Hawaii, where I can actually make things really beautiful, because I really love fixing things up and making them look gorgeous. In the low-income properties, you can't, because it's going to get destroyed, so you kind of have to know, like, well, I can only fix it so much.
JC, what's the best ever place to reach you?
The best ever place to reach me? You mean like Twitter or something like that?
Yeah, how can people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you?
I'm like a young old man. Like I don't have a Facebook. I don't have a Twitter. I don't
have an email.
I do have an email. Yeah, I do have an email.
All right.
It's Jacob, J-A-C-O-B, Charrington, C-H-E-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N, the number 2, at gmail.com. And, you know, if somebody wants to reach me and have any questions about real estate, you know, I would be more than happy to answer any questions or help if somebody's really serious about it. I mean, I needed a hand, I needed help throughout my life and throughout my career, and occasionally still do. So I have no problem offering the same help to anybody that has some questions or needs a tips or advice and they're doing something similar.
Well, thank you so much, JC. This has been not only a lesson in flipping, but then also personal development, psychology, and literature.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for, you know, sharing your best ever advice with the listeners, and I will talk to you soon, my friend.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Joey. It was fun. Thank you so much.
And stay safe.
Yeah, well, we didn't even get into the stories, but yeah.
Yeah. What's a story? Give us a story. What's the craziest experience?
God, there's been so many, but I'll use the day that you said your friend came, because that was such a funny day. It was like he got the show. I felt like Denzel Washington in Training Day. You know what I mean? Like he was Ethan Hawke. like he wanted to meet me because he wanted to do this business. So he thought, I'll meet him downtown in Las Vegas, you know. So he met me downtown. I'm calling him and trying to see where is he, you know. And he says, oh, I'm on this corner. And I hear this chaos in his background, like somebody trying to attack him. And he's like, come quick. This guy is, you know, he's coming after me. And I'm like, what? And so I go, I see you. So I see him at the corner downtown. So this messed out looking homeless dude, or I don't know if he's homeless, but just crazy ass looking big white guy, running after him. So he jumps into my truck. And I got a pickup truck, and he jumps into the truck. And then this guy, he runs up to my truck, and he's in the passenger window, like almost in your friend's face. And he's screaming, give me money! You know, like, but looking like he's going to go nuts on us, you know. So, you know, I know how to deal with these people because I'm, you know, always seeing them on a regular basis. You can't be nice. So I'm screaming at this guy, you know, get out of here. I'm going to knock you out. You know, I'm going level 10. Like, I'm not holding back, you know. So I make like I'm going to get on my truck, and I'm screaming at him like I'm going to, you know, I'm going to hurt him. And so then he just kind of like, you know, and then just walks away. And then I remember right from the start, he's like, oh, my God. Like, is this, what's going on? Is it always like this? You know? And I'm like, sometimes, you know, sometimes. And so we go down behind the Stratosphere where some properties that I've had, and that's a really bad neighborhood. And so we went behind there, and then I'm showing him some buildings, pointing to them, saying, look at this, and talking about numbers, teaching him some things. Then all of a sudden this guy drives up in a car, and he kind of blocks us off like he's a police officer. And then he like reaches for a gun and kind of like pulls it out a little bit. And looks at us. And so I just opened my window and kind of, you know, casually tell him, nah, man, I don't need anything. Thank you so much. We're just working, yeah? And then he kind of looks confused and says, okay. And kind of like gets out of our way and just drives down the street. And our friend, he's like, oh, my God, like, what if that guy killed us? You know, like, what would you done? I'm like, I don't know, duck, get down. Like, you know, just joking, you know, like, I don't hit him with his car. But it was funny because, and then it was more stuff throughout the day that just kept happening weird like that. And, you know, yeah, man, people live in the most crazy way in some of these neighborhoods. I mean, they're just barely holding on to life. And so their perspective of life is so different than our perspective of life. And, you know, if you're dealing with C-class neighborhoods, you know, there's
That, my friend, is a D-class neighborhood.
No, believe it or not, that's C, at least here in Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, man.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Hey, you, best ever listener. Do you want more? Then head to joefairless.com, where there are tons of free videos, templates, and content to help you get deals done. And if you want Joe to personally help you reach your goals, then go to the Work with Joe tab on joefairless.com and apply to, well, Work with Joe.